This young preacher was called to his first church. And on that first Sunday morning, he got up and preached a sermon that was very well received by the congregation. A lot of folks went by as they were leaving and shook his hand and said, "That was a mighty fine sermon." The next Sunday, he preached the same sermon, word for word. People still liked the sermon. He got a few less comments on the way out. And then the third week, he preached the same sermon. Same illustrations, same scriptures, exactly the same sermon. So finally, the elders pulled him aside and said, that's a real fine sermon that you've got there, but you think you could preach a different one?" To which the young pastor said, "When you start living the first one, I'll move on to the next." He didn't last very long in that church. I tell that story because it might sound like I'm doing the same thing, preaching the same sermon week after week as we're going through these opening chapters in the book of Proverbs. Each Sunday seems to carry the same message. Wisdom comes from God. Wisdom guides our lives. And those who reject God's wisdom do so at great peril. And it might seem like second verse, same as the first, you know. We're just going over the same thing over and over again. And I'll be honest, as I was preparing this message from Proverbs 4, I was really tempted to skip it. Because it just sounds like a broken record. We're going over this over and over again. Then I realized when the Bible repeats something, it does so for a reason. And the reason is emphasis. This is really important. I don't want you to miss this. And so, once again in chapter 4, we see the importance of wisdom. We see familiar themes emerge. Get wisdom. Guard wisdom. Grow in wisdom. But what's different? What do we see here that maybe is a new angle on the subject? And I found it in verse 7. Proverbs 4 and verse 7. "Wisdom is supreme. Therefore, get wisdom. Though it cost all you have, get understanding." I really like the way the King James Version puts this. "Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get wisdom." That's a turn of phrase we don't hear very much. Or maybe we do. You ever heard somebody say, "Get to getting"? That's really what Solomon is saying here. Get to getting when it comes to wisdom. With all that you have, it's worth it. And that's where the question comes in. What's wisdom worth to you? Solomon says there's nothing better than to get wisdom and understanding. So get to getting. Whatever it takes, it's going to be worth it. But that's a question each one of us must ask ourselves. What is wisdom worth to me? What is wisdom worth to you? We're going to jump around a little bit in this chapter, but I want to begin with the path to wisdom. Look down to verse 10. "Listen, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many." According to one author, life is a series of forks in the road. Decisions must be made. Ultimately, there's only two routes to take. There's Wisdom Lane, which could be illustrated as a small, ordinary-looking lane going up a big hill. Or there's Folly Freeway, which is an 8-lane expressway heading downward with apparently no obstacles or red lights. Jesus talked about two paths. In Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, he said, "Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." In life, we have a choice. What road will we take? What path will we follow? And you see throughout Proverbs, and it really in keeping with the wisdom literature in general, godliness is a very real path to life. Godlessness is a path to death and destruction. So, how do we take this path to wisdom? Verse 11 says, "I will guide you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths." How do we do that? Well, the first way mentioned is instruction. Notice the opening words of the chapter. "Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding." Look down to verse 10. "Listen, my son, accept what I say." Verse 20. "My son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words." We need to learn from our parents, from our teachers, from those who have gone before. I was talking with Lowell before the service today, and he said, "You know, if I had only learned the lessons of my parents, and if my children would only learn the lessons from me, we'd be so much better off." Isn't that true? Isn't that true? If we would just learn, if we would pay attention to those who have gone before, who have walked these paths, who have made mistakes and paid the price. I always thought that was a great thing about being the youngest child. I could watch my brothers get in trouble and think, "I ain't doing that." But we don't always learn, do we? You know, sometimes we go and make the same stupid errors that our brothers or our parents or people around us have done. We don't learn. Wisdom says learn, pay attention, listen. Listen to that instruction. Too often modern churches don't follow Paul's instructions to Titus about the older men teaching the younger men, the older women teaching the younger women. The fancy thing to do years ago in the church growth movement was you target one certain age group, and that's who you go after. That's not the New Testament teaching on church. Church is a family. It's multi-generational. We learn from one another. We pass on truth and experience and wisdom from one generation to the next. That's God's design. And that's how we learn. Instruction. We can learn a lot, benefit from their experience. You know, our society is one of the few in history to exalt the enthusiasm and energy of youth over the experience and wisdom of age. We'd rather hear something or someone new, and anything that sounds too familiar, we dismiss as passé. "Ah, that's old-fashioned. We don't need that. We want something new." But you know, we learn so much more from those who have been there before. Now, of course, all of this instruction needs to line up with the inspiration of God's Word. You know, not everybody that grows older grows wiser. Isn't that true? Wisdom is not automatic. It just doesn't come with age. It doesn't come with your AARP membership card or your Social Security benefits. Wisdom only comes as we learn the lessons from our experiences. And we also need to learn to filter what instruction we heed. I think about the Berean Christians in Acts 17. Now, Berea was a town where Paul went after Thessalonica. And in Acts 17:11, it says that the Bereans were more noble than the Thessalonians because they received the message Paul preached with great eagerness, and they examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. We need to hold whatever instruction we listen to the truth of God's word. Because there's a lot of things out there that is posing as wisdom. You get on the internet, you find it all over the place. Everybody thinks they've got something wise to say, to pass on. And it's really easy to click share and then put it out there for everybody else. But really read it first. Examine it closely. Make sure it is in line with God's word, because there's a lot of things out there that even claim to be biblical that aren't. There are a lot of preachers out there that are preaching, but they're not preaching God's word. They're preaching a different gospel. It might be a gospel of prosperity. It might be a gospel of ease. That's not the gospel of Jesus. So we've got to be very careful that we filter the instruction we receive by the inspiration of God's word. And then a third way to the path of wisdom is initiative. In order to get wisdom, we must have motivation and determination. We get in life what we go after. If we think we can just sit back and it's going to come to us, we're going to be sadly mistaken. We must take the initiative. We must go for it. Notice how Solomon repeats the word get in verse 1. Gain understanding. Get understanding. Verse 5. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Verse 7. Though it cost all you have, get understanding. There's no easy path to wisdom. There is no learning for the lazy. We must aspire for it if we are to attain it. One commentator on Proverbs notes, the first line means either the beginning is wisdom, so get wisdom, or the beginning of wisdom is get wisdom. And it's the latter that's more probable. It's a blunt way of saying what it takes is not brains or opportunity, but decision. Do you want wisdom? Come and get it. It's there. In fact, James 1 promises us that if anybody lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who will give it. If we are to ask God for wisdom, he doesn't say, I don't know. I've given a lot of wisdom this week. I think I'll pass. No. God says he will give it if we ask for it. But we must take the initiative. We must get it. Get to getting it. We need to be active. The path to wisdom is available to all, but it will not be accessed by all. We need to listen to instruction, receive divine inspiration, and demonstrate initiative if we are going to benefit from wisdom. That is the path to wisdom. But wisdom is not cheap. It comes at a cost. Warren Wiersbe writes, get wisdom in verse 5 suggests buy wisdom. The Hebrew word used here carries the idea of a commercial transaction. There's a price to pay if we want to know God's truth and obey it. So this is the price of wisdom. Jesus told a parable about this in Matthew 13. Matthew 13 verses 45 and 46. Actually, verse 44, it begins. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. You might hear that and think, sold everything? Come on. That's got to be exaggeration, right? You know, Jesus is exaggerating for effect here, maybe. No? It's exactly what Jesus called a discipleship was. Remember when he went to Simon and Andrew, and then James and John, and he said, come follow me? What'd they have to do? Leave everything behind. They left their business, they left their family, they left everything. When Jesus went to Levi, we know him as Matthew, and said, follow me. What do you have to do? He had to leave that very lucrative business that he had, collecting taxes, to follow Jesus. At one point, Simon Peter said, we've left everything to follow you. What if God were to speak to you this morning and say, I want you to leave everything here you have, your family, your job, your possessions, your comfort, your security. I want you to go to a foreign land where you're going to be hated because of me and you might even be killed. How many of us are going to line up for that one? You know, there are people that do that all the time. Now, that may not be your call. God does not call everybody to go, but if he did, would we be willing? That's the price. The cost of discipleship, you might say. Being willing to give all that we have. It was not a coincidence, the songs we sang this morning. All to Jesus, I surrender. I surrender all. All for Jesus, all for Jesus. All my being's ransom powers. All my days, all my hours. Do we really mean that? Or do we just sing it on Sunday morning? Are we willing to give our all for Jesus? What are we willing to part with in order to follow Christ? Maybe it'll be our pride. Maybe it'll be our independence. Maybe it'll be our comforts. Maybe that doesn't seem practical enough, so let's look at three aspects to this price of wisdom. The first element is conformity. We are to conform to, that means to follow, to obey whatever it is God tells us to do. We don't know how it's going to turn out. God says, you just trust me and obey me. We're to obey God's instructions, whatever they might be. When God called Moses to lead his people out of slavery in Egypt, Moses was a bit skeptical. And he wanted some assurance that this is really what God wanted him to do and that he was the right man for the job. And in Exodus 3:12, God said, I will be with you. And this is a sign to you that it is I who have sent you. And I'm sure at that point, Moses is thinking, great, here's my sign. Here's going to be that evidence that this is exactly what God is wanting me to do. And God went on and said, when you've brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Well, Moses got a sign, all right. But did you notice the catch? When would Moses experience the sign? After he obeyed. See, we want the sign in advance. You know, we would say, God, you show me this, and then I'll do it. God says, no, you do it, and then I'll show you. Why? Because that takes faith. God showed us everything in advance. Where's the faith? There wouldn't be any. So we are to conform to God's commands and his call, even when we don't know the outcome. If we are willing to do God's will, we will have God's guidance. But if we treat his will like a buffet lunch where we can choose only what pleases us, we'll never get God's direction. The will of God is not for the curious, it's for the serious. And he says, you follow me, and then you will see what I will do for you. And if we're serious, we're going to obtain wisdom for our daily lives. But we need to conform to God's commands if that's going to happen. Furthermore, the price of wisdom requires concentration. We must be focused to hear God's voice and to sense his direction. Did you notice how many times in this chapter Solomon says, listen, pay attention, focus, concentrate. Because he knows human nature is easily distracted. It takes effort to concentrate our focus. In our day and age, distraction is almost seen as a necessity. We have to have a radio or television playing no matter what we're doing, driving a car, doing our work, taking a shower. You know, they have actual radio, waterproof radios you can put in your shower. Why? Because we don't like silence. Got to have noise. There's even music in elevators. You ever notice there's music in grocery stores? Why? Because we always have to be distracted by something. I recall one time seeing someone reading a book while they had the radio and the television on. I can't pull that one off, so hats off to them, I guess. Ted Williams, the famed baseball player, reportedly had such powers of concentration that when he was standing at bat, he would not be distracted even by firecrackers thrown at his feet. He had such focus that nothing could distract him. I heard the same about golfer Jack Nicklaus. There was a time when he was about to hit the ball and a fly landed right on his ball. And he hit it anyway. And later somebody asked him, what about that fly that landed on your ball right before you hit it? And he said, what fly? He was so focused on what he was doing, it didn't even distract him. But we are very easily distracted. In Proverbs 4:25, it says, let your eyes look directly ahead. Let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Turn your foot from evil. Do you notice the concentration there? Fix your mind. Paul would write to the Colossians, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. So we must concentrate. And then third, the price of wisdom involves courage. Proverbs 4:13 says, hold on to instruction. Do not let it go. Guard it well. It is your life. The easy way is to go with the flow, to go down the broad road where lots of people are going. It's the easy path. It takes real courage to stand up in the face of such coercion, to remain true to the Lord. It may cost us friendships and acquaintances. Not only that, we face inward opposition to the path of wisdom as well, because let's be honest, at our very core, we are selfish. We do what we want, when we want, and how we want it. A lot of us are basically lazy, preferring the easy route to the difficult one, even if the end result is less. We want to bring our baggage of worldliness and selfishness along for the ride. You know that passage in Matthew I mentioned earlier where Jesus talked about the narrow gate and the broad gate? Well, that narrow gate can be best understood as a turnstile through which only one person can go through at a time. You know what those are like. And that narrow gate limits what we can take with us. Have you ever seen somebody in an airport and they might be in a hurry and they're trying to get through one of those turnstiles with all their luggage? That's a chore. And when Jesus said, go through the narrow gate, we can't get through a turnstile with an armload of suitcases. If you insist on taking luggage, the broad gate might be more appealing. Now, it's probably marked heaven. It might even be marked Jesus, but it's not going to heaven, and it has nothing to do with Jesus. This is the gate of religion for the masses, a wide, open gate through which anyone can pass without ridding himself of self-righteousness, pride, material possessions, or even sin. There's no salvation for those who enter that gate. And you hear this today. One of the most famous preachers in America today has one of the largest congregations, won't preach about sin, won't preach about repentance in order to follow Jesus. Why? Because that's not what people want to hear. He's more interested in how many people fill the seats than he is in proclaiming the truth. That's why we have to be careful. The path that is truly following Jesus is a narrow one. We can't enter the Christian life and presume to live the life of sin like the rest of the world. So many think they can trust Jesus but still go down the broad road. It's like trying to walk on two paths going two directions at the same time. Visualize that. That can be pretty painful. It's impossible. We can't do it. As with anything worthwhile in life, wisdom comes with a price. And it's a pretty steep price. We must ask ourselves the question, is it worth it? What is wisdom worth to you? Now, when we're willing to pay the price for wisdom, we'll enjoy the protection of wisdom. Look down to verse 6. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. By following God's way of wisdom, we'll be kept from the harmful ways of the world. Look at verse 14, same chapter. Do not set foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it and go your way. For they cannot sleep till they do evil. They are robbed of slumber till they make someone fall. They eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. It's no wonder the book of Proverbs promises long life to those who pay attention, as verse 10 does in this chapter. It's not a guarantee that every believer will live to an advanced age, but more often than not, those who avoid the practices of the world will find themselves in better health, and more often than not, out of harm's way. It doesn't happen quite as often as it did a few years ago, but several years ago, you would hear of some professional athlete or maybe someone in the entertainment field would wind up dead, shot or stabbed, a victim of some kind of violence. And as the details come out, you find out that it happened at 2:30 in the morning outside of a nightclub. Yeah, that's tragic. Should not have happened. But you know, if you put yourself in a place where those things happen, you're more likely to fall victim to it. By avoiding those places, you can protect yourself. And that's what wisdom does. And it says that we bear some responsibility in that protection. In addition to the commands to listen and pay attention, we're told in verse 23, above all else, guard your hearts, for it is the wellspring of life. Charles Stanley observes, sometimes we fall into sin, not because we plan to, but because we aren't looking where we're going. God calls us to stay spiritually alert at all times, and that includes regularly taking inventory of our life's direction. And in the final verses of this chapter, Solomon provides some practical ways to do that. Look at verse 24. Put away perversity from your mouth. Keep corrupt talk from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Make level paths for your feet and take only ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil. Notice how specific these commands are. He mentions the mouth, the eyes, and the feet. By keeping our mouth under control, by having our eyes focused where they should be, by keeping our feet on the right path, we're going to benefit from the protection of wisdom. But this requires discipline. This requires dedication on our part. It's easier to say what we want to say, to allow our eyes to take in all the distracting and oftentimes distasteful sights in our world. to allow our feet to take us where we know better than we ought to go. Satan induces us from the inside while the world lures us from the outside. Only a concentrated, consistent effort on our part through the power of the Holy Spirit is going to keep us on the path of wisdom. So, let's go back to that initial question. What is wisdom worth to you? Is it worth saying no to our self-indulging sin nature when it's easier to say yes? Is it worth perhaps alienating members of our family, our friends, our neighbors, or our co-workers by pursuing God instead of pleasure or prosperity or popularity? Is it worth the time and the effort to listen to God, to learn, to live according to His Word? When we understand the end results, the profit of wisdom is clearly worth the price, but the ultimate decision lies with you. So I leave you with this question. What is wisdom worth to you? Will you bow with me as we close in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank You that You have provided wisdom for us. You have made it available for all who will ask. You have revealed wisdom in Your Word. We have the Spirit of wisdom living inside of us. But it still requires our initiative. It requires our focus and concentration. It requires our compliance to Your Word. And it is my prayer that we will find wisdom worth the price. And that we will enjoy the benefits of wisdom as we follow You. Give us the courage needed to follow You. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.